Hey, everybody, before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know we've got another live show coming up. We will be back at Maya Cinemas on Thursday, May 23rd for Furiosa, the latest in the Mad Max series. We are so excited for this one. Joining me to talk about it, we've got Sam Novak, Shahab Zargari, and Tony Gonzalez, a great lineup. It's going to be an awesome movie. We are so excited to talk about it. So make sure to check the show notes. There are opportunities to win tickets. You can also buy tickets, and we hope to see you there Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas for Furiosa. Welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we're talking about Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken, a new DreamWorks animation film that's out in theaters right now. And we had a fun time talking about it. Joining me is filmmaker Paul Ogren. And we get into a lot of really fun puzzle pieces on this one. Some that are a little similar to another movie that came out last year, but we'll get to that when we get to the conversation. Before we get to it, though, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. Also, we do have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, another movie podcast that I produce, and from my music career. So there's lots of stuff over there. I'm actually about to post a film score that I recently did that I'm going to release as an exclusive on the Patreon. So you'll be able to check that out if you go and subscribe. So check it out. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. But of course, I appreciate you just being out there and listening as well. So with all that said, let's get into this conversation about Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken. All right, we're going to talk Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken, and joining me today, we've got Paul Ogren. Paul, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I am good. I am. I just saw this morning, and I'm excited to talk about it. It'll be a fun one. You know, we've been getting, it seems like, hit after hit this year with animated films. Like, obviously, Super Mario earlier this year was like a huge, the biggest movie pretty much this year. And it'll be interesting to see how this one does. And it'll be interesting to hear how you like the film, and we'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, before we get too deep into that movie, it's your first time on the podcast. Tell my listeners a little about you.
So I'm Paul Ogren. I'm a director, filmmaker, writer, producer, and have a lot of shorts I've done that have been at festivals recently, and working on some bigger projects too, some feature scripts and TV pilots. I'm based in Massachusetts, actually, and there's a lot of film production that's been here due to the tax credit. So we've actually had like Black Panther 2 was shot right outside my office, and we've got some bigger studio films coming in, but we also have indie filmmakers, and it's building a film community here, which I've been doing it since before that, since I was pretty young. But it's nice because it's really opening up the doors a bit to collaborate with some great experienced people on your own projects locally, and not having to bring everyone from New York or LA for certain things. So that's me, based here, been making films and doing freelance production and post-production work for many years. And just trying to have a good time and work on stuff that I like to do.
Very cool. Well, I definitely want to talk a little more about your films a little later in the conversation, but I do want to ask you, when discussing, you know, what film we were going to cover here for your guest appearance on Piecing It Together, this was your first choice. And so I'm just wondering, are you a DreamWorks Animation super fan? Are you just a big fan of Krakens? Like, what's going on here?
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of DreamWorks for sure. And, you know, there are a lot of popular films that are coming out too that I would have loved to talk about on this sort of summer schedule. But obviously they're popular, and I know you'd listed some that other people were talking about. So I, you know, there were a few of those that I was like, oh, those would be great. Those would be fun. But, you know, some of those were taken, and I was like, you know, let's just do something different, do an animated I don't always, I mean, I love animated films. Like I love Pixar movies, DreamWorks movies. So I just thought, yeah, it'd be fun to kick off the conversation around that just to, for something different. And you know, they're always fun to watch, entertaining and imaginative. So I figured why not?
Absolutely. And yeah, DreamWorks Animation has been on a bit of a roll. I mean, we've gotten quite a few really good ones, and then, you know, they don't all hit, but I mean, most of them have really worked well, both critically and commercially. And so, like I said, I'm interested to see how this one comes out. It just, you know, just opened today. So, you know, we haven't really gotten the full reaction yet, but it's going to definitely be interesting to see. But we will get into, you know, everything that goes on in this film along the way. Let's start getting into some puzzle pieces here. What do you have for your first piece?
So one of the first things that I definitely thought of, which is not necessarily a you know, intended for a young audience, but just the mother-daughter relationship in Lady Bird, I thought was an inspiration for, again, that film is obviously not intended for as young of an audience, but it's just a very difficult and complicated relationship, mother-daughter relationship that has a lot of pain, but also a lot of love and sort of, you know, there was definitely a relationship like that in this film, even though it's, I think, it's less complicated and it's more for a younger audience and all that. And you know, being animated and everything and a family film. But yeah, there was definitely, a relationship I saw, like, between Ruby and her mother, Agatha, who is, voiced by, I believe, Toni Collette. Sure. And sort of like trying to do the best thing for her daughter and protect her, but also sort of unintentionally stifling her own growth and becoming who she wants to be and who her family has been and those types of things. So that was just sort of a parallel that I saw.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the mom knows, like, there's no getting around this. Like, she's going to make her daughter mad no matter what, but she kind of just has to do this. And yeah, Lady Bird's a great one to include in this. And Lady Bird actually was a puzzle piece for my first puzzle piece, which was, of course, Turning Red from Pixar, which I think you kind of can't even talk about this movie without at least getting Turning Red into the conversation, because both films deal with a teenage girl who is learning to deal with her out of control emotions that are wrapped up in a somewhat obvious, but, you know, apt metaphor of turning into a giant monster whenever she loses control. In this case, it's a Kraken, but in Turning Red, it was a giant red panda. And both films feature, you know, the awkward friend group and, you know, wanting to talk to boys and loving school and being annoyed by your parents. And a lot of the same themes are being explored in both these. It's interesting. Like, I wonder if they were being developed at the exact same time, because, like, they are really so, so similar. But definitely Lady Bird came up in that conversation, and I think Lady Bird fits here. And are you a fan of Turning Red?
Yeah. So I definitely like the teenage angst and also the message about your body changing as a teenager, like all the hormones and like trying to fit in at school, trying to fit in with your classmates and sort of the awkwardness there. And then, yeah, having the sort of metaphor in Ruby Gilman be like, yeah, turning into a giant monster that basically inadvertently destroys the school library because, you know, it's just huge and not knowing or understanding or how to control your body. I think there's a lot of also like important deeper messages just about how we communicate to kids and to women and just people in our society about the like changes that their body goes through and things that are important to talk about that are sometimes not talked about openly, or, and it leaves kids feeling very like just unsure of themselves or like something's wrong with them when, you know, in reality it's something everyone goes through. And in this case, it's like she's a Kraken, so not everyone goes through it at her school, but her family does. And it's things that her mother and her grandmother understand, and like it's in the family, but it wasn't talked about with her. So she felt like a freak. She felt like she didn't fit in and had all these feelings that really, you know, it's not her fault, but it's just that sort of those teenage feelings when, you know, when you are going through those changes. And like it's just something that I think has a universal message, even though it's in this sort of fictionalized fantasy form.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely universal. And I wonder, like, I'm trying to think back to, like, a lot of older animated films. Were they always so, you know, so fixated on dealing with those kinds of complicated emotions and you know, family situations and just all of those kinds of things? It seems to be something that every animated movie kind of tries to deal with nowadays. I mean, I know there's been a lot of jokes online about the panic attacks being in like every one of these animated movies lately, but I mean, kids are dealing with a lot of really difficult emotions, and it's a horribly difficult time to, I'd imagine, be a kid right now. So, I mean, that's all, again, just very universal themes to deal with in these kinds of movies. And of course, kids are who are mostly going to see these, so that's who they're targeted at.
Yeah, and I think in like Gen Z in particular are much more aware of and conscious of like mental health issues, and they have so many because, you know, being online so much and being on social media and like having a lot of these conversations happen sort of in another, like in this sort of, like, yeah, just in an online space instead of in person, like by actually talking, you know, to people. There's this whole other world that, like, I think a lot of their awareness of the effects on them and their awareness of mental health and the importance of mental health to them. So, like, you know, the panic attack thing, it was funny because I was like, this is like such a, you're seeing some of, I think, like the, that generation's values like bleed into entertainment and into stories in a way that I think is, it seems truthful to me. I mean, I'm older, so I'm not in that generation, but like I have friends who are teachers and work with them a lot. And I have been writing a short with a couple of Gen Z young actors. And so like from my experience, I'm like, yeah, like this feels like it relates to kids and that they're aware of things that like when I was growing up, we never really talked about or had conversations around. And then, so in a way, I think it's good that they are aware of it and it's healthy, but it's also coming, like you said, at a time where I think it's hard to be that age and it's hard to be in that environment, you know, just with just how the world works now for them.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But what do you got for another puzzle piece?
So another one I have, so I have like kind of an obvious one, which is the Little Mermaid, which is, but it's like a reverse Little Mermaid because in that, you know, she starts out in the sea and she wants to know what it's like to live on land. And then in this, Ruby Gilman starts out on land, but she really wants to know what it's like to live in the ocean where her family's from. So I thought it was kind of like a, you know, a flip of that classic, you know, Disney film. And there's also a villain that basically makes a deal and tricks her. And it also involves a trident, which, you know, throw back to the ocean and Poseidon, I guess. But yeah, so that was another one for me.
Yeah, no, I like that. And I just got to say, like, just to add into that, Annie Murphy as a voice for that from Schitt's Creek, like, that's an inspired bit of casting. I mean, she's kind of perfect.
So perfect. She's so good. Yeah. Absolutely. I didn't know it was her. Actually, I didn't look it up before I went in. I didn't know. I was like, who is that? And then I was like, oh God, of course it's Annie Murphy. She's like so perfect.
Absolutely. I will say, as I start getting into some more pieces here, most of my pieces for this one do tend to be like little things, like little specific moments or specific like things about the film. But with that said, I'm going with South Park for another puzzle piece here.
Okay. All right.
And my reason here is because Canadians look different, but everyone just simply accepts it. The Gilmans, their cover is that they're Canadians, but they're blue and they're basically monsters in human form. They do not look like normal people. And then of course in South Park, everyone has those floppy heads, all the Canadians. So,
Yeah, that was honestly hilarious. That was one of the funniest things where she's like, I'm Canadian. And he's like, oh, makes sense.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. So yeah, it's a ridiculous way to make them fit in, but not really. So, you know, but, what do you have for another piece?
Another one that I definitely thought of was like Stranger Things and Eleven being a young girl with superpowers that she doesn't fully understand and struggling with those. And sort of in this fourth season, she loses them for a while and is basically getting bullied by her classmates and has a really hard time fitting in at the new school she's in. And so, yeah, I just thought that really, was a parallel of just like a gray character and a female character with like really powers that don't fit into the normal world at all. Mm-hmm. And doesn't have a lot of guidance around how to use them or what to do with them. But ultimately they end up saving her friends, which is also the case in like Ruby Gilman. Sure. And there's also like a dance at the end of the second season. You know, there's a lot around of Stranger Things. There's a lot around going to the dance with Mike. And so this in Ruby Gilman, a big thing was asking Connor to prom. I think his name is Connor, right? Asking him to prom. So that was like a thing that, you know, was a central plot point of the movie that ultimately like resolves. And so, yeah, I just kind of like felt some parallels there.
Yeah. Asking someone to prom, that is maybe universal beyond like all generations. Like that's never going to stop being scary. So, that will always fit in, but yeah, no, that's a good one. I hadn't thought of that. But I will go to another Netflix series for my next puzzle piece, Wednesday, the Addams Family spinoff. In Wednesday, you know, kind of centering the story around, you know, a would-be monster, in this case, a Kraken, Wednesday being, of course, you know, a member of the Addams Family. So they're basically like monsters. And then the villain being, you know, the pretty outgoing, popular character who turns out to be a mermaid, but, you know, is actually the bad guy, even though she's, you know, all popular and pretty and cool and fun and whatnot. And so like kind of just twisting that kind of archetype of who the bad guy and who the good guy is in a story like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love Wednesday. And actually, Ruby's friend in her friend group, the one that always would say like the dark, sort of have a dark comment.
Yeah.
Like she was catastrophizing.
Yes.
She actually made me think of Wednesday a ton.
Yeah.
She reminded me of Wednesday Addams.
Absolutely.
Just very like sort of morbid comments, but funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally morbid. Super goth. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like that. What do you got for another one?
You know, on a similar note, as far as like, villains that you don't expect. I have one. I don't think this was necessarily, or I don't know if this was an inspiration for it, but it reminded me of that show, The Boys, on Prime. In the sense that, like in the pilot of that show, you think that Homelander is the hero, and he's kind of like the white male, upstanding celebrity that everyone thinks is the good guy, and then you find out that he's actually like the worst, mm-hmm. and he's like the villain of the whole show. And so just like you said, I thought of that with like Chelsea, who's Nerissa, the mermaid, who at first, like, she's sort of like the white, popular, pretty girl that everyone loves and adores. And then it turns out that she's like actually the villain and the monster. And it's like that sort of archetype that I think in the 90s and the 2000s, like she would have been the protagonist and she would have been the hero. And now we're starting to see that flipped around, like even in something like Velma too. We're seeing that show on HBO. And, So I had a similar feeling about that, which, you know, it's interesting and it's refreshing to see those stories start to be told in a different way, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. Bringing up so many in a row, really, that kind of deal with that, with twisting, you know, who would traditionally be the good guy and the bad guy and just flipping them around. So that is interesting that we're seeing a lot of that in a row right now. And I mean, it's just, I guess, you know, people love it. So, you know,
yeah. I think it has to do with like different perspectives and diversity. And instead of sort of idolizing the, you know, like white male and female protagonists like have been for a long time, I think there's just like people are starting to flip that narrative and getting opportunities to do it in mainstream entertainment, which, you know, is like exciting to see in a way. It's exciting to see that happen and that we're living in a time where those stories can be flipped around in a new way. So, you know, I'm here for it. I love it.
Absolutely. I will go with another tiny little puzzle piece here. I'm going with Gremlins, because if you get wet, you turn into a monster. So, I mean, it's a very simple, you know, plot point, you know, a very simple rule for the character. But if she falls into the water, she starts turning into a giant Kraken. And of course, the Mogwais turn into Gremlins when they get wet. So.
Totally. Yep. Yep. That's a good one.
Nice. Nice, quick, easy one there. Do you got another puzzle piece you want to bring up here?
Oh, let's see. Yeah, I made some notes because I thought of a bunch of them.
Awesome.
So another one is, I think kind of my last big one is, I was just thinking of that show Killing Eve.
Okay.
That Phoebe Waller-Bridge was like, she created it and was the showrunner on the first season. And it's sort of an unusual, like, again, I don't know if it was really like an inspiration necessarily for this, but just to see like an action series that typically would be like a male role, like James Bond or like a Bourne Identity type thing, mm-hmm. that she, you know, flipped with having Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer basically as, you know, making an action show that features women. And then, you know, Ruby Gilman, it's like all the fighting, all the warriors are women in that movie. So like Ruby and then her mom and her grandmother are like the warriors, the Krakens, the female Krakens are the big strong ones and the male ones are like small ones. And ultimately the villain is also a woman. So really it's like, you know, it's all female action and it's female relationships, but also the fight scenes at the end, like the yeah. big sort of epic fight scenes over the fate of their society. It's all led by female characters, which kind of just made me think of, again, sort of flipping a traditional archetype over, and instead of having it be like male dominated fight scenes, even the training montage where her grandmother's teaching her about like her armor and her laser eyes and all these, like just sort of flipping that around, flipping the gender, which again, I think is awesome. You know, I'm here for it. We're living in a time where this is getting done more and more, and I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. I didn't have this as like a puzzle piece, but I did notice they used the phrase answer the call, and it made me think of the Lady Ghostbusters movie, which was the subtitle for that film. So, you know, but nice. Yeah, no, it is cool to see that. And it is a predominantly like all female movie, like really, like all of, you know, the main characters are women, and they all get together and kick ass, and the villain's a woman too, and like it's just pretty much all women there. So I'm gonna go to a video game for a puzzle piece here. Every once in a while I gotta throw one in here, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Nintendo Switch series Splatoon.
I'm not.
So this is like it's like a party game where like everybody, like kind of like a first person shooter style party game though, where everybody is like shooting each other with ink. But the main thing though is that they're all like anthropomorphized squid people. And they all have that attitude and that like just go, 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 you know, exciting, like Saturday morning cartoon kind of energy to them. And just all of that mixed with an almost anime kind of style to it. And of course, being sea creatures that are kind of mixed with humanoid, you know, bodies. And I think you get a lot of similar design for these characters as you do in the Splatoon series.
Cool. Yeah, I had one kind of like that, just an obvious one, like Finding Nemo, mm-hmm. because it's set underwater and there's a lot of good jokes about, you know, sea creatures and, oh, also the seagulls. The seagulls are featured like in, you know, they're in Ruby Gilman. They don't do that, but they swarm her uncle to try to get his corn dogs. So she uses it as a tactic to escape him so she can get into the ocean. So yeah, that was just kind of a funny parallel of like, you know, Finding Nemo set underwater, having the seagulls be like funny characters that like attack in swarms. So that was like an obvious one that I thought of too.
Nice. Yeah, well, speaking of obvious ones, can we just combine Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and Clash of the Titans, because they basically made Krakens the biggest thing in the sea. So you kind of can't make a movie about Krakens and not expect people to think about those two movies.
True. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't know, did you know what a Kraken was before those movies?
I knew it because, well, Clash of the Titans, probably seeing that as a kid was when I first heard of the Kraken. Mm-hmm. So I guess like, so, cause I definitely knew of it as like the mythological thing kind of. And I feel like seeing that movie was maybe one of the first times when I was pretty young, like seeing that. There's also a type of rum called the Kraken that I remember drinking back in the day that has a picture of a giant Kraken on the label.
Nice.
Yeah, no, probably that was the first time that I heard of Krakens, I guess, because I was pretty young when I saw that. Yeah. So I probably didn't know what a Kraken was, or a Gorgon. I don't know, if that might have been my first time learning about Gorgons.
Yeah, that goes right along with it for sure. But do you have any other pieces you wanted to bring up?
Those are the big ones. Okay. Those are the big ones I had. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, no, that's it for me. you know, I had thought of a couple other things, but they kind of deal with a lot of the same themes there as some of what we've been talking about. So I'm just going to go ahead and read down our list of puzzle pieces, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts here. But we talked about Lady Bird, Turning Red, The Little Mermaid, South Park, Stranger Things, Wednesday, The Boys and Velma, Gremlins, Killing Eve, Splatoon, Finding Nemo, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and The Clash of the Titans. You know, a lot of twisting monsters and bad guys into good guys. Like, that seems to be kind of the main theme here, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. I like that you worked in a video game reference. I didn't even think of that because I was like thinking about movies and shows. But
sure.
But yeah, that was cool too. I should have thought of one.
I was trying to think, it may be, you know, just as like a closing thought here, I was trying to think of a superhero movie where the character just doesn't want any part of it. They like do not want to be the superhero. I know that's something we've seen before, and I just couldn't think of like what a good example of that might be.
I mean, like Jon Snow is a good example in Game of Thrones. Oh, okay. Like he doesn't want to be the good leader that mm-hmm. he is, but he is, since he keeps kind of getting forced into it.
Sure.
I feel like that is a great trope. I mean, even like in Edge of Tomorrow, that Tom Cruise movie with time travel, sure. where like the last thing he wants is to be forced into the situation to fight, you know, fight this fight and learn all this stuff. Yeah, it's a fun thing when the hero doesn't want to be the hero.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely. Go Army of Darkness, even. But
even like Harry Potter is like a sure. classic example. You know,
absolutely.
Like it's kind of the last thing he wants is to deal with all that, but he ultimately gets forced to do it. You know,
absolutely, because it's a movie and we got to have a hero. So I mean, come on.
But yeah, exactly. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to step up.
Definitely. Do you have any other thoughts on Ruby Gilman that we didn't quite get to while doing puzzle pieces here?
No, I think we covered it. That was great.
Right on. Absolutely. Well, is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
I just saw The Blackening.
Okay.
Which was great. And I finally saw the new Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which I just absolutely loved. I liked the first one, but I really love the second one. So I definitely recommend those. Absolutely. I saw them both this week.
Both great recommendations. So yeah, I love both of them. So awesome. Well, Paul, tell us a little more about the film that you've got like right now out in the festival runs. Honest Cocktail is the one that you're out with right now. You also just shot another one, right?
Yeah. So Honest Cocktail is in festivals, and it's a comedy short about two people that basically they're on their first Tinder date and they decide to order a drink that forces them both to tell the truth. And it does not go well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But, so it's like a sort of comedic antics. And, so that's a short that's, been at festivals in LA, New York, and Boston so far. And, we've been really happy with the response of, you know, it's a little bit nerve wracking when you make a comedy. Cause like, if no one laughs, then you know, you kind of failed.
Sure.
But like in the screenings we've had so far, like the audiences have just been laughing so hard throughout the movie that they've been laughing like over lines and missing jokes and stuff, which is like, honestly, a huge relief when you're sitting there with strangers. Cause that's, to me, like the real test is when you have like total strangers watching it who aren't just like your friends and family.
Sure.
And all that.
Yeah.
So that's been going great. And then I'm about to shoot two more in a month,
okay.
Two more shorts, and I'm working on some scripts for bigger projects and things too. But you know, I love, in the meantime, doing shorts is a great way to work in a lot of different genres and collaborate with a lot of people and learn a lot of skills that you can bring into bigger feature and TV projects. And so like I'm shooting one on 16mm film, which I've always wanted
nice.
To do. And I would love to shoot a feature or a TV show on film someday. So, you know, I'm trying to learn that process now. And yeah, so, you know, busy, but all good stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That sounds sounds exciting. And I'm looking forward to seeing that short. It sounds really fun. Hopefully one of the festivals takes you here to Las Vegas at some point. I can get a chance to see it.
Yeah, true. And I might be able to share a private link that, you know, because it's in festivals, obviously, so it can't be shared publicly.
Sure.
But I'm happy to share with folks who are interested as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, where can people find you and your work?
So you can find me on IMDb. My name's Paul Odgren. And I produced a feature film called The Lost Footage of Leah Sullivan. It's a found footage horror that's available VOD that you can just look up and find on a lot of different platforms. And my shorts aren't publicly released. One of them's still in festivals. The other two had their festival runs, and I haven't put them out online. So yeah, those are probably the easiest way to find. And then there's we have a Facebook page for Honest Cocktail, and also an Instagram. The Instagram handle is just Honest Cocktail, so easy to find. And that has updates about festivals it's getting into and awards that it's winning and things like that.
Awesome. Well, I will look forward to checking that out. And hey, hopefully we'll get you back again on the show sometime when you got another project coming out.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been fun, and it's a cool concept for a show. It's fun to talk about that and inspiration and think about other stories and stuff. So thanks so much for having me. It's been fun.
Do you love rom-coms? Do you wish you could talk about Christmas movies year-round? Then we have the perfect podcast for you, Hallmarkies Podcast. Throughout the year, we cover all things romance, holiday, and Hallmark, including recaps of every Hallmark show like When Calls the Heart and The Way Home. You can also get loads of bonus content covering shows like Bridgerton, Sweet Magnolias, and Just Like That. We are an all-female group of friends who are passionate for these shows and movies and give our honest opinions as well as gush over what we love so much. But that's not all. Every Monday, there are interviews with all your favorite actors, writers, directors, and more. Check out Hallmarkies Podcast on all your podcast providers and on YouTube. That's Hallmarkies Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. Thank you to Paul Odgren for joining me on that one, and thank you to you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, make sure you are subscribed wherever it is that you're listening, and if there happens to be a 5-star button you could hit, I would appreciate it if you did that. Maybe even leave us a little review. And, of course, you can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. We got a lot more Piecing It Together on the way. Lots of episodes in the can right now. Some of them you can find over on that Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon. Some of them will be up whenever they get up, but lots of movies to cover. So definitely make sure you're subscribed and keep an eye out for all that new stuff that's on the way. Let's close this out with a piece of music like I always do. And let's see, what should I play on this one? I'm going to play a song from my most recent album, More Content, one that kind of feels a little floaty, underwatery, you know, kind of like from down under where Ruby Gilman lives. Why not, right? I don't know if it fits, but it might. It's called Secret Places. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
An All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.